The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?' He then addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. 2 people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself: 'O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes on my whole income.' But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, 'O God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." People were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them, and when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. Jesus, however, called the children to himself and said, "Let the children come to me, and do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." An official asked him this question: "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he replied, "All of these I have observed from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing left for you. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became quite sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him, now sad, and said, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this said, "Then who can be saved?" And he said, "What is impossible for human beings is possible for God." Then Peter said, "We have given up our possessions and followed you." He said to them, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive back an overabundant return in this present age and eternal life in the age to come." Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. But on the third day he will rise." But they understood nothing of this. The word remained hidden from them, and they failed to comprehend what he said. Now, as he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Then Jesus stopped and ordered that he be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He replied, "Lord, please let me see." Jesus told him, "Have sight. Your faith has saved you." He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. When they saw this, all the people give praise to God. The Gospel of the Lord. This chapter seems so providential for today's feast of St. Francis, the poor and humble beggar who experienced the passion in his body, and who, with great abandon, followed the Lord in everything that he did. I think, in a sense, we're all like the blind beggar in this chapter. We're all in need of having the eyes of our hearts open, but we're actually shouting with him, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Lord, please let me see. Let me see what you desire in my life. Let me see your answer to my prayers." The Lord wants to restore our sight so that, like St. Francis, the eyes of our minds and the beats of our hearts can be entirely focused on God. And so how do we make sure that we're not getting in the way of what the Lord wants to do in us? The first thing to ask ourselves is, am I asking for the right things? We might feel like we're the persistent widow, and so the Lord, who is the perfectly just judge, will eventually break down and do what we want if we just ask him enough. More prayers, and we'll finally get our answer. But in the beginning of this chapter, we don't have the example of a just judge, but rather a dishonest one, who only acts justly because he's annoyed. He is one who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And so it's important to remember that the just judge, the Lord God, will actually give a verdict that is just all the time for the right reasons. And he will judge and give the verdict of what we need to hear. And so it's important to make sure that we're actually asking for what we need, not just what we think we need. For instance, I might really think that I need to have a ton of money for fantastic things here in the parish. But if that's not the Lord's will, then I shouldn't waste my time asking for him. Rather, it can be helpful to ask for things that are good for our souls, to ask in such a way that we'll always accept whatever the Lord wills. Lord, please help us to receive a healthy collection on Sunday, so that we can stay in the black and also expand what we offer to families and those in need. But not my will, but thine be done. The second thing is, why am I asking for this? Is it for my own glory, or is it for God's glory? Sometimes when we ask for things, we can have the wrong interior orientation. It can be about what will bring us goodness, about how we can do better at work, about how we can be successful or maintain control. Oh, if I could just oversee this project, it really would go smoothly. I would definitely do a better job. It's not that the whole desire is bad. It's good to want things to be improved and to bear more fruit. However, when that is mixed in with the desire that it be improved because that will make me look good, that will make me successful, that will draw attention to me. Then there's an interior gaze that is concerned with our own glory rather than the Lord's. And this can knock the grace train off its rails. This is the way of the Pharisee we see in today's gospel. The way of the tax collector, though, is one of contrition and humility. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In this path, we recognize that without God, we are nothing, and that with God, it's really His grace working through us that brings about everything. He is the author of what is good, and He is the one whom the glory should be directed in everything that we do. What is impossible for human beings is possible for God. That was St. Francis's path. And this should be our path. The final question to ask is, what am I willing to give up for this? Christ predicts His passion here for the third time in Luke's gospel, and the disciples still don't get it. Luke tells us, they understood nothing of this. The word remained hidden from them, and they failed to comprehend what He said. This triplex structure means He's really driving the point home that they had no idea what Christ was talking about. They failed to see that Christ's sacrifice was the most fitting way for Him to bring about our redemption. Don't we sometimes do the same? We can look at the suffering that is coming our way and see it as too daunting to accomplish. I'm supposed to give up what exactly for you, Lord? Do I really need to give all of that away? It seems like Christ is inviting us into His passion, and that since we're not God, we should not be expected to have to do that. Yet the reality is, firstly, even though we are not God, we are still called to give up everything to follow Him. There is still one thing left for you. See all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. All Christians are invited to this in some way. Yes, it's dependent upon our state of life and our vocation, but as soon as our hearts won't let go of something earthly, that reveals a deeper problem that can only be solved with grace. What are we willing to give up to follow Christ? St. Francis famously stripped off all of his clothes as a sign that he was giving everything away. And while we might not all expect it to be do that, I doubt that would be the case for any of us, really. Can we do the same with the attachments of our hearts? Can we strip away all the worldly attachments that we have so that the only thing that our hearts are attached to is God? Again, we hear, what is impossible for human beings is possible for God. If we really want to have the eyes of our minds and hearts opened, then we have the path before us. Ask for things according to God's plan, not our own. Do it for God's glory, not our own. And be willing to make sacrifices. When we do this, we too can receive our sight and follow Christ, which will truly give glory to God. Heaven is worth it. Lord Jesus, you who instruct us on the path of true discipleship, so that we can ask for what is necessary, do it for your glory, and with a willingness to make sacrifices out of love for you. We come to adore you present before us in this most blessed sacrament. We praise you, you who heal the sick, give sight to the blind, and offer mercy to sinners. Please help us to live according to your providential plan, so that following the example of St. Francis, who was poor, humble, and experienced the reality of the cross even in his body, following his example, our minds and our hearts can be transformed so that one day, having become truly poor and humble like you, we may see you forever with eyes open to your eternal glory and for all eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.